Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
And he will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Isaiah 61:3. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Joining me today, all the way from Kiev, Ukraine, is Karen Springs, the Eastern Europe and Central Asia Project Manager for Orphans Promise. Orphans Promise is a ministry of CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, and serves orphans and other vulnerable children around the world, taking them from at risk to thriving through transforming power of God's love. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks, Sandra. It's great to be with you guys today.
Oh, it's great to have you on the show. And I'm always amazed by the technology. There you are in Ukraine and I'm here in the States, and we can have this conversation and share with our listeners what God is really doing around the world. You've been there in Ukraine since 2004. So, Karen, how did you get involved in orphan ministry there?
So when I graduated, I'm originally from Seattle, Washington, and was graduating in the spring of 2004 and really had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I had studied theater and communication and was just at a place where I was looking for somewhere to serve for a short period of time until I figured out what I wanted to do. And so I have relatives that have been missionaries serving in Ukraine since the early 90s. And so as I was graduating, I just made contact with them to see if there was something I could come over and do and see a bit about the work that they were doing. So with a few conversations and then the agreement to buy an airplane ticket to come over in October of 2004 for 8 months, I didn't know that I was setting out on a path that would really change the course of my life and where I would be living. So I moved here for a short term, but within 3 months had the opportunity to visit an orphanage in southern Ukraine. And so it was in visiting that orphanage, and at the time there was about 300 kids living there. It was a state-run institution, and I was there bringing some humanitarian aid with the ministry that I was volunteering with, and just struck up some conversations in my very, very broken Russian with some of the girls that were 12 and 13 years old. And I was just so struck by the fact that these kids would soon age out and what would happen to them. And I was just starting to hear about older child adoption and that people were starting to adopt older kids. So I quickly decided that I needed to become an advocate for seeing older children adopted into families. So that is what became my the start of what has now become 12 years of ministry in Ukraine.
Wow. Incredible. And I always love it when God intersects people's paths, because when we were talking the other day, I realized I've met you before and we have mutual acquaintances. In fact, Mary Slager, who is one of the co-founders with me of Justice for Orphans, you also know the Slagers because you worked on a project where you interviewed them when they were in Ukraine several years ago for one of their adoptions.
Yes. So I met the Slagers when they were adopting Kirill, and I was not the original person to do some of their interviews, but someone on my team here had interviewed them, and then I had all that material. And at the time I was putting together a video to promote adoption in Ukraine. And so I got to know the Slagers through going through their interview testimonies and just kind of hearing their story. And then when they came back to visit Ukraine a few years later with Kirill, I got to do a follow-up interview with them and just hear more of their story. But so that was a big thing that I did the first year that I was here, was just telling people's adoption stories, both American families that had gone through the process and also Ukrainian families, because the project that we began that first year that I was here was called The Gift of Adoption. And the whole purpose of that project was to spread the idea and the vision of Ukrainian churches adopting adopting children.
So yeah, that's, I just think that it's just incredible, the common theme, you know, the common thread that can run through our lives all around the world. So you went on to, now you were hired, you are working for Orphans Promise, which is a ministry of CBN. So what projects are you involved with through Orphans Promise?
So currently, I'm serving as a project manager for our projects that are in Eastern Europe and in Central Asia, and that consists of a variety of different projects. A few of those projects are here in Ukraine as well. A lot of what we focus on in this region of the world is around life skills training for youth and mentoring programs. So through Orphans Promise, when Orphans Promise began in 2005, it began with a vision for what is going to happen to the kids when they age out. You know, the statistics everyone quotes, you know, of kids going into crime and suicide rates, prostitution rates, trafficking rates. I mean, none of the statistics are good. And so our founder, Terry Musin, just really had a heart to how are we going to help these kids that are going to be aging out of orphanages, and how can we give them a hand up in life? So the training center began in Verdansk, Ukraine, and from there, really that vision spread throughout Ukraine. We now have centers spread throughout Ukraine, and then we've also replicated that program in Armenia, in Georgia, in Kyrgyzstan, and it looks different everywhere that it operates, but usually the goal is to work alongside the local church and to get the local church invested in the lives of at-risk kids or graduating orphans. So it's a mixture of teaching life skills, you know, vocational skills, job skills, relationship skills, and then the other aspect of our training is employable skills like computers and English. And some of our centers have musical classes, and some of our centers have cooking classes, and every center kind of operates independently and has different things. But that has really been a trademark project of Orphans Promise, is these training centers that we have.
Well, that's incredible. And that is such that's the universal issue all around the world, and in every country where there's an orphanage, and really even here in the United States with foster youth, sooner or later a kid ages out of the system that they're in, and they have no life skills, no job skills, no training. So then what? And they're so vulnerable to just falling through the cracks, to all those things that you mentioned, the trafficking, the prostitution, drugs, alcohol, gangs, violence, prison, suicide, all of those things. The statistics are huge against them. So it's that just rings true straight across the board, is how valuable that training is for these kids who are aging out.
Yeah, and in the first year that I was here, we developed this life skills curriculum, which is a 10-part curriculum, and we've used it throughout Ukraine, throughout the former Soviet Union, and it's an amazing curriculum because it's meant to be a tool in the hands of people that are going to go into the orphanages, are going to work with kids. And when we have trainings, when we train volunteers to use this curriculum, I always tell people, you know, this tool is as good as it is in the hands of who it falls, because really, more than anything, what we believe is it's relationships that are going to change the lives of these kids. So, I mean, we can teach them life skills, we can teach them English, we can teach them computers, but if they don't have that relationship to fall back on, if they don't have that person to come alongside them, the skills really aren't as helpful. So it's been really cool to see the curriculum that we've developed become a tool for building long-term mentoring relationships with youth.
Yeah, mentoring, that's the key, because I just heard a quote, I believe it was at CAFO's summit, and it was something like, every child is just one caring adult away from success. So it's that caring adult that makes all the difference.
Yeah, it really is.
So let's talk about Ukraine's orphans for a moment. Are there statistics? How many children are in the orphanages there today?
Statistics in Ukraine are always an interesting battle to get a hold of, and are ever changing. It seems like the official ones. The most recent one I have come across that I've sat in several meetings that had Ukraine officials in attendance was that currently there are 104,000 children living in institutions in Ukraine. But where that number is deceiving is that does not mean that those children have the legal status of an orphan. So, and that's what gets confusing when we throw around terms like social orphan or full orphan, is a lot of children remain in residential care here who have never had parental rights removed, or perhaps have a grandparent or a relative that has guardianship over them but has placed them in an institution. So the most current number that I've heard for children that are available for adoption in the institutions is 7,000. So there's a huge discrepancy between how many kids are living in institutions currently in Ukraine and those that are available for adoption. And a lot of the kids in institutions, some of them are from, you know, families that are in poverty, and so they might go home on weekends. There's that system. Others, the paperwork has not been done to remove parental rights. So, It's a huge problem.
So what needs to be done to change the situation for, it's like nearly 90,000 kids that are in these institutions but really aren't available for adoption?
Yeah, it's definitely a shift, a reform needs to happen legislatively, which there's a couple people that I even know personally that are involved in trying to do some of those reforms. You know, for many of the listeners that probably know, Ukraine is in a conflict war situation right now, so resources are tapped. So that makes the situation even more difficult when you talk about social reform. You know, sometimes it's easier to ignore a problem when there's other problems that are screaming louder. So there's definitely just a need for more social workers in Ukraine, and probably a bigger budget that needs to be put aside for those social workers so that work can be done with crisis families, that children can be rehabilitated when that's possible, or if legal work needs to be done to remove parental rights, that could be done. So it is a challenging situation. There's no way around it. And that's, you know, another reason why we push mentoring, so that even if adoption isn't possible for a child, that they can at least have a stable adult relationship in their life. But there's no question that reform needs to happen. And a lot of it is even, you know, surrounding institutions in Ukraine, you have a lot of people that are afraid of losing jobs. So you have orphanage directors and staff that want to hold on to their positions and therefore do not want to see kids gain orphan status that would allow them to be placed in a family.
Incredible. So the church can play a big role in this all the way around. That's what we're called to do. Tell us a little bit about you're part of the World Without Orphans facilitation team. Can you tell us a little bit about your work through World Without Orphans?
Yeah, so I when the Ukraine Without Movement, Ukraine Without Orphans movement first began here in Ukraine, I was kind of on the fringe of that and got to play a bit of a role in some of the early meetings, and then just through some personal friendships and relationships was asked to join the planning team for the forum that just happened in Thailand this last February. So it's been really cool just within our network of Orphans Promise. So Orphans Promise is working in 60 countries, or over 60 countries around the world, which means we're connected with churches and movements and groups throughout the world. So it's been really amazing to blend the vision of Orphans Promise, but then also this vision of a world without orphans and what that means to come alongside the local church. And that's one thing that we really do believe strongly at Orphans Promise, is that we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to go in and, hire a bunch of people to do work if that's not what's needed. If we can work alongside the church and strengthen projects that they already have, or give life to the ideas that they already have. And that's really the vision of World Without Orphans too, is to work through the local church, not to just come in with Western solutions or Western ideas, but to empower local believers that they can be the solution for the orphan crisis in their community, and they can come up with local solutions. So it's been really exciting being a part of World Without Orphans and to see these movements, these little adoption movements. You know, I've seen an amazing adoption movement begin here in Ukraine within the local church. I got to be a part of when Kyrgyzstan Without Orphans was launched. I was at the first conference for Romania Without Orphans. And so it's just been amazing to just see what God is doing, just to be a bystander, really, not always doing something per se, but watching and seeing as the Spirit of God is giving the same revelation to His church throughout the world that that adoption is possible and is the answer for these kids in need of family care.
Oh, absolutely. I just want to remind our listeners, this is Sandra Flack, your host for Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about orphan ministry, adoption, and foster care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is Karen Springs. She is the Eastern Europe Central Asia Project Manager for Orphans Promise. Orphans Promise is a ministry of CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, and it serves orphans and other vulnerable children around the world, taking them from at risk to thriving through the transforming power of God's love. And Karen, you just mentioned that Orphans Promise is working in 60 countries around the world. I did not know that. That's incredible. And I know it was sort of founded, and Terry Musin of CBN is the executive director, I believe, of Orphans Promise. Is that right?
Yes.
So that, and she's an adoptive mom. I know that, that she and her husband have adopted children from Ukraine.
Yeah, five adopted children. Three from Ukraine, which is really what began the whole vision of Orphans Promise, was how to reach the children that were left behind.
Yes. Yes. And I remember seeing that on the video, and just an incredible work. And boy, watch out when a Christian adoptive mom has that passion. Look what God can do. So, Karen, one of the projects you're working on there in Ukraine is an adoption conference for adoptive parents, Ukrainian adoptive parents, that you'll be hosting this November. So are you finding that more Ukrainians are adopting? Because I think there was a time really when rarely that was the case.
Yeah, and I would say that when I came in 2004, it was just beginning. And that was when we produced some of these early films that I mentioned that promoted adoption, and we told the stories of families who had adopted. And since then, it's just been amazing to see how it has spread in the church as people have shared testimonies and just shared their stories, you know, just like anywhere, people catch the vision and realize that they too can step forward. So one of the things, though, we realized about 6 years ago was that we had all these families that were adopting, but there was just a lack of resources. It's not like the United States, where you go into a bookstore and there's a whole section on adoption, or there's conferences, you know, every month for adoptive families. There just were not resources here. So as we were encouraging families to adopt, we really saw it as also our role to equip those families, because as we all know, it can be very challenging, and the needs that a lot of our kids have are, you know, quite significant. So we gathered a team of people and said, it started off with let's create some resources, let's translate some books into Russian. And then from there it was, well, how are we going to get these resources into the hands of people? Oh, well, we should probably have a conference. So that was how it began. In, I believe our first conference was in 2010. And so we gathered people, and it was really amazing because we found a really nice hotel that was able to give us a significant discount. And so we brought these couples from all over Ukraine, some of them that had never lived in a fancy hotel before, that had never even visited the capital before. And so it was a really exciting weekend just to see these couples get away, to get resources, to get books, to get materials, to meet other adoptive families. And we brought in experts from North America and Europe. We had counseling sessions. And so it was just so clear that it was such a needed event. So we did it again in 2012 and again in 2014. And so now we're entering into our fourth conference that will be the first weekend in November 2016. So our goal this year is to have 150 couples from around Ukraine. Wow. That will come for the weekend, and they'll have a chance to sit in a variety of seminars and workshops, and then also get a chance to purchase some resources that we've translated into the Russian language. So it's really exciting to see these families not only be sent out, but also equipped.
Wow, that's incredible. I love that. Real quick, you also run a hospitality ministry for American families who are in Ukraine for their adoptions. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so life, you know, isn't full enough. So I decided to open up my home. It started with a vision. I'd always been involved in adoptive family stories somehow or another in Ukraine. People would hear about an American girl serving here, and I'd get connected with family. So it started, I believe, it was the summer of 2010. I met a couple from Texas that was adopting, and I had just opened up my home for them to stay with me. And out of that, just really was born a vision of maybe I could do this more formally and serve families that are coming over to adopt. Because for those families that are listening that have adopted internationally, you know that it can be very scary to travel somewhere where you don't know the language and you don't know the culture. And so sometimes just having somebody from your own culture help make that transition makes it a little bit easier. So since 2011, I opened up my apartment. I have a guest room that I use to serve adoptive families as they're passing through Kiev. So in the last 5.5 years, I believe I've had close to 150 families.
Wow.
Come through my guest room.
That's incredible. And as an adoptive mom who has been to Ukraine a couple of times for adoptions, that is such a needed blessing. So, Karen, as we wrap up here, share with us what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today.
There's so many. If I was thinking about this and praying about what I would want to share, and I think that the main thing is to think, especially as the church in the U.S., alongside churches in other nations to help them come alongside the children in their nations. I think sometimes there's a tendency that we in the West want to come in with all of the solutions. And I think that there's so much to be learned when we come alongside with partnerships with local churches and find out how we can strengthen what they're doing or give them ideas, but then let them be the hands and feet on the ground. We have a project in Kyrgyzstan where we were able to just come alongside a local church with an idea of what would it look like to help restore broken families. So to get kids back with their biological parents whenever that was possible. And it was really amazing because we just planted a seed and we were able to see the local church really start doing it. And we were able to come alongside with just a little bit of financial support to help restore those families and to help maintain those children living back in their homes. But it was all being done through the local church. And now those families are plugged in with the local church and they received the ministry from the local pastor, from the local families. It wasn't about, you know, help from America. It was help from the local church. So that's something I just believe strongly in. And so just encourage people listening to, if their church isn't connected with another nation, just to think about ways that that is possible. Or if you are, think of the programs that you have and how you're coming alongside to empower believers in other nations to be that change for vulnerable kids in their community.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining us today and for all of the work you and Orphans Promise are doing on behalf of orphans and adoptive families all around the world.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on the show.
Well, thank you. And if you, our listeners, are wondering what you could do to help orphans, we at Justice for Orphans have some local opportunities for you. You can mark your calendar. JFO's 5K for Orphans is only one day away from this broadcast on Saturday, October 15th in Ravenna, New York. Come out and run or walk the 5K. Bring the family and stay the day for the Harvest Festival that follows. It's free fall family fun for all. And JFO would also like to encourage and equip you and your church to protect the fatherless through orphan ministry, adoption, and foster care. So join us on Saturday, October 22nd at 9 a.m. at Faith Baptist Church in Rexford, New York. Our keynote speakers will be father-daughter team Ree and 16-year-old Sydney O'Leary of Feeding the Orphans, and yours truly, Sandra Flack. Foster and adoptive families and agencies will be in abundance as well. For details and registration for both the 5K on the 15th and the conference on the 22nd, go to justicefororphansny.org. And don't forget, Orphans Sunday is right around the corner on November 13th. Will your church be standing with the thousands of churches here in the U.S. and in 80-plus churches or nations, I should say, 80-plus nations globally, including Ukraine? In fact, I believe it was last year that the First Lady of Ukraine observed Orphan Sunday by releasing doves at an Orphan Sunday ceremony right in Kiev. Orphan Sunday is the perfect opportunity to stand for vulnerable children everywhere. So details and free resources about Orphan Sunday can be found at orphansunday.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.